And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world.
There's a saying that says, with a crisis comes an opportunity. When the storm passes, there's a silence. And when the rain stops, there's a rainbow. This idea is based on the Phoenix effect. Now, the Phoenix is a mythological bird that symbolizes immortality, resurrection, life after death. And sometimes after a loss, we don't have the resources, but that's okay. What we really need is resourcefulness. And on today's episode, my dear friend Carly and I are going to discuss the Phoenix effect and how resourcefulness ignites success. Carly, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, it's awesome to be here, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been a couple of years now since your first appearance, and we had such a good time back then. But in current discussions, you know, over the course of the past few months, you have just blossomed as a speaker. If you go back, friends, and listen to Carly's original episode and compare it to today, I think you're almost going to believe that they're two different people, but really they are one and the same. So we're excited today to talk about resourcefulness and this whole idea of the Phoenix effect. So tell us what you've been up to in your life and how this topic really resonates with you.
Well, since the last time that I was on this podcast, I have done so much more than what I was doing before. Tony, you were talking to me when I was still just like the single mom trying to heal after a severely narcissistic, toxic relationship. I was building my business at the time. I was coaching in the lower levels. I hadn't yet written my book. I had the manuscript. And I remember telling you privately, it's like, I hate my book because I don't want to go and edit it. Since then, I have my book published. It's on Amazon. I recently published it over the summer. I have coached several women in my niche, and they've had these amazing transformations. I'm running masterminds. I'm a speaker. I've been on podcasts more than just yours, Tony, but like so many. Been on summits. I've risen up through the ranks when it comes to what I was learning in my student career. And not only that, but I have actually healed all of the trauma from that past relationship and all the relationships beforehand. I'm more fully expressed. I'm moving towards true love. I'm looking towards that now in the future. And I just feel fantastic. My life is just incredible from what it was 4 years ago when my house burned down.
That is just fantastic. And I do see that in you. Your life has turned around. It's incredible now. You're on this incredible journey. You're healing other people. But I want to rewind a little bit because you talked about trauma, and that's kind of what we're talking about today, this Phoenix effect, using that resourcefulness for success. But part of success really starts with healing from that trauma. So maybe tell us a little bit more about that and some of the resources and the resourcefulness that you used in that healing process.
Okay, so if I was to backtrack to where I was even 5 years ago, there was a point where I thought that life was not worth living. I couldn't get out of bed. I was just so depressed. It was just taking all of my energy just to get up and show up for my kids every day. They would look at me and they'd be like, "Mommy, look at this." And I'd half-heartedly be able to try to muster up some sort of enthusiasm for their picture or whatever they were building. And I'm like, I want to show up for my kids and I want to actually be happy. And at the same time, my ex was just so mean. Like, we just were not a good fit. And he was going through things. I was going through things. The way that it just, there's this point where somebody is basically saying, the only way you can stay in connection with me is if you cut your own wings off, is what it felt like. It's like I was being told I had to be a housewife. I had to just give up all of my dreams and just do whatever he wanted me to do and how he wanted it done. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, maybe I could be a Stepford wife, maybe. And then I would get depressed because I'm like, no, I can't be a Stepford wife. That's not going to work for me. That sounds like it's going to suck my soul out of me. And I get into this really, really dark place. And then there was some things that happened where it was very clear we had to break up, but I was still trauma bonded in that relationship. It had been going on for 13 years, and like a frog boiling in water, it was just to that point where I'm like, how the heck did I get here? And I was moving away from him. He had already moved out the first time. And then what happened is that he tried to get himself back in. And he said, I'll change. I'll do whatever you want. I'll give you your dreams. And I'm like, oh, I think I can do this. And that was the same day that the universe was like, no, first of all, we're going to burn your house down. Wow. And it burned my house down. So it was like, as soon as I got off the phone with him, and I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe he's going to change. That is the moment when suddenly I realized I turned on the heat and the smoke was coming out of the vents. I'm like, oh my gosh, my house is burning down. Now I had to rely on him for a little bit to try and get back on my feet. But the whole time I also realized something about my business, about my dreams, like I can rebuild. And if he doesn't step up, I'm going to make it on my own. It's ironic that something so traumatic of having my house burned down was actually the best thing that happened to me.
That's very ironic. And, you know, a couple things that I want to unpack a little bit here. You had something what I call an aha moment. And that's what I wrote my little, you have a full book that you have. We'll talk about that as we go on today. But I have a short ebook called Strive to Thrive, which is the name of the podcast, the name of one of my Facebook groups. And it's about wake up call moments. It's about when something happens and you have a choice of going down path one or path two, and what path you choose makes a huge difference in the trajectory of your life. And sometimes we ask for a sign. And the interesting thing is you asked for a sign, and that sign came in the form of something that we really didn't want. So maybe be careful what we ask for. But the other thing is that God, the universe, whatever you believe, it doesn't give you more than you can't handle. So having to deal with that house fire, although it was a tragic event and it was something that was probably pretty devastating at the time, it was not anything that you could not handle. And it actually was that sign that you needed to say, okay, I need to choose, you know, path number two rather than path number one, because this is where I'm going. And by making that decision, it's changed your entire life.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I noticed that too, because I also recognized other things as well. I had been relying on other people outside of myself, but I was relying on the wrong people. And that also ties into what I talk about inside my book. But the thing is, I talk about the right support. I did not have the right support where I was at to achieve my dreams. I had people telling me after the fire, well, you can just let go of all of that stuff. You don't need any of it. Just start over. You don't need any of your books. You don't need to go back into that building. And others were saying you could just hire somebody to go through your stuff and restore what you can. And what I've noticed is, like, when other people tell you to just let go of something, or to hire somebody out, or have somebody else come in and do this thing for you, you don't necessarily have the right people who would understand what's important to you. And I recognized that because people wanted to help me after that fire. Absolutely. People came in. But the help that they were giving was bombarding me with clothes, which I'm grateful for. And I paid it forward and I sent those clothes back where they needed to go. However, it was like so much stuff and people just kept wanting to give me more stuff. Meanwhile, I was staying in my ex's bedroom with my kids because he had actually just recently moved into a house where he only rented out a bedroom. And I've got like 3 weeks of this plus trying to move into a new place. And I'm like, I got nowhere to put all this stuff, but people just keep bombarding me with it. And what I really wanted was practical help. I wanted support with the kids so that I could take the time to make those phone calls. I wanted to be able to decompress and rest. And nobody was giving me that. So part of what's even in my book is about finding those intentional things, like what is important to me and how can I go and get that? And if I can't find it in my group of friends and family that I have now, how can I bring in that support? So you're talking about resourcefulness. This is part of it, is that I realized, hey, everybody wants to help, but they're not giving me the right resources. So I need to be resourceful myself. And I need to really focus on what is most important to me. And I knew that my books are treasures. So I still have books that have like maybe a little bit of smoke damage, but I figured out how to clean the soot off of them. So if anybody has a house fire and needs to clean soot, I know all the tricks. I even know how to get the smell out of stuffed animals. People were telling me not to save my kids' stuffed animals because you'll never get the smell out. Well, I did. So recognizing that you actually have all the power within you, recognizing that maybe when other people want to help, they've got good intentions, but it just might not be what you need. And that's why I have my 5-pillar system that actually builds on resourcefulness. You need to have the right mindset of getting past your fears and knowing what you're working towards, the right education to know how to do things, the right environment. You need to be able to actually decompress and thrive. So in terms of the Phoenix effect for me, if I'm starting to feel like I'm in my feelings, I will intentionally create a space for myself, either mentally or also physically, to be able to have that rest time. And then there's the right facilitators, finding coaches, finding mentors, finding people that are teachers who can help you, spiritual leaders, whatever you're looking for, even if it's online, can help you to get that knowledge that you need. It's like, hey, I've been where you're at and I know the path and I can show it to you. And then finally, the right support. If your partner is tearing your wings off and saying you're not good enough until we clip these wings and fit you into this box, they're not the right fit. You've graduated from that. Divorce is not shameful. Sometimes it's like, hey, we're just in a different space now and we can't really keep going and it's going to destroy us if we stay here. It's not a shame to do that. Same with your family. Sometimes your family is the one that's unintentionally clipping your wings. And you're like, hey, I love you, but I need to go and find my soul family here, some other friends that I can call family. I'll still come to family dinners, but I'm going to get my support somewhere else.
And that is really a great way to explain resourcefulness, what you just did. I'm finding the help that you need in other places. And I like the metaphor of people wanting to put you into a box, because everybody wants to put you into their own little box. And in the case of, you know, your ex, there was that situation. And it was not only shoving you into a box, but it was clipping your wings, because those wings wouldn't fit in the box. But without those wings, you couldn't rise and you couldn't fly and you couldn't soar like you're trying to do today and like you're doing today. So recognizing that is huge. And also recognizing that even though other people, they mean well, right? They were trying to help you. Sometimes their help is not what you need. And then it's learning how to be able to say, you know, thank you, I really appreciate this, but maybe this is not what I need right now. And being able to take the resourcefulness inside of you and ask them for those things that you actually do need. Does that make sense?
Yes, that is absolutely what I was saying. So yeah. You've just said it in a different way.
I want to pick apart some of these pillars now a little bit more, because I think every one of them, I mean, you kind of went through them quickly, but the first one, I like it all starts with mindset. So how did you shift your mindset when you were, you know, in your room, kind of feeling all depressed, to actually saying, no, I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to do something. I'm going to rise from the ashes like the phoenix. How did you make that mindset shift? What was the biggest thing in your life, or what was the biggest revelation in that area for you?
So one thing that really drove me crazy growing up is that my family had this way, and other people around me, would say, oh, you have to just think positive. You just have to think positive all the time. I know you talk about positivity, but there's a different side of it. There's toxic positivity and there's actual positivity. So all the times that I would be complaining or being frustrated by something, people would be like, well, look on the bright side. It's not as bad as it could be. Other people have it worse. Count your blessings. And they would just keep doing that. But that invalidates where you're at.
I love how you brought that up, because that's exactly what you hear all the time. Oh, look at the bright side. Or yeah, exactly. And they try to compare it. And you wait a minute, but you're not acknowledging where I'm at. And I think true positivity starts with acknowledging where you are in that present moment, even if that is not in a positive state. All right, continue. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I thought
a problem, Tony. I mean, you basically have reflected it back. But you know, the thing is that when you're in that state, the counterintuitive move is like, it's different from, oh, I'm just going to be positive, because that's invalidating your own feelings and your own truth. No, what you need to do is go deep into that darkness that seems so horrible. You need to have a good cry. Sometimes I call this having a bitch fit too. Like, you need to get really good and mad. But first, before you get good and mad, you have to get sinking into that despair. You have to really go deep into it. So my counterintuitive thing when I was feeling so depressed was, I'm like, well, I guess I'll just be down and like, I'll just go through the motions and I'll just be the Stepford wife, or maybe I'll just end it all. And I would really go dark as humanly possible, like a very dark version of It's a Wonderful Life, like that kind of level of dark of like, if I'm not here, people will be better off. And then I create that in my mind. I did the same thing with my birth, actually. It's like, well, what if I give in and have the C-section? What if I just let them do this stuff to me? How is that going to affect me? But then there comes a point when you get into that darkness and think just how horrible could be if you do not take path B and stay on path A that you know is destroying you. And you're like, no, F that. I'm not putting up with that. No way. And you get that fire. You get really mad. It's like, how can it be like this? This is so unfair. I'm so mad. And then you come the other direction and you're like, okay, now I'm ready to take action. And you were talking about that too. It's like the authenticity, the audacity, and taking action. You go into that authentic truth of where you're at. Then you have the audacity to be like, oh, hell no, that's not happening. And then you take the action to get yourself out of it, even if it's just one step. So that's what I really did, is I recognized like, well, I could stay in this toxic relationship and I could see every single one of my dreams going down the drain. And I never write my book and I never coach anybody. And I'm just a Stepford wife. And I watched my kids and they're just being crushed by where they're at. And I'm just getting even older and older and older and older. And I could do that. Or I can get up and I can say, oh, hell no, this isn't happening. And I'm going to write a book during this pandemic, which I did. I didn't publish it yet, but you know, because we talked about it, Tony, is that I had my 90,000 word behemoth of a manuscript. And then it's like, at least I got it out there. And that took me into our community that we met in. And then I just kept taking action over and over and over again until finally, 6 months in, I'm like, I'm leaving my partner. I'm leaving him. I'm going to be a single mom and I'm okay with it. And that was where you kind of met me at, which was, I had just been out of that for about, I think it was 8 months. I think it was 8 months after when I'd finally left. And it was just, it's just been transformative since then. Every time I have like that dark moment, that crying in the shower moment, I mean, even working on a book or trying to build a program or trying to get a date with somebody or just chasing a dream, there's going to be moments where there's going to be obstacles in front of you. Sometimes the universe actually tests you 3 times. This recently happened to me. It's like, are you sure you want it? Okay, well, here's a roadblock. Are you sure you want it? Here's another one. Here's another trigger point that's going to be really painful to deal with. Oh, you sure you want it? Okay, here's another one. And you have to just keep going deep down in that darkness and be like, well, what if I just let this roadblock stop me? And then it's like, oh, hell no, I'm going to climb it. And then you realize it's a stair.
Yeah. Sometimes in the darkest moments, that's when we have our biggest transformations. And I think I really like the fact that you chose to, let's see what happens in my mind, because you're not actually doing it, but that It's a Wonderful Life analogy of going down path A and seeing, well, what's this really going to be like? So kind of like in that movie, you know, George Bailey saw what life was like if he hadn't been born. And he's like, oh, hell no. I want to come back. I need to come back. And then on that bridge, he finds out that he's back. And even though the world was still falling apart around him, he still came back and he was excited to be back because he knew that he'd made the right decision. And just like you, and I'm sure many other people, even people listening to this, there's been a dark moment in their life. And they said, well, what happens if I go down this path? What happens if in this wake up call moment, I take path A or path one or whatever you want to call it? And really, you have to project that, and which is what you did. And I love the fact that at the end of it, you got so caught up in what life would be like and what you'd be missing out on that you had no other choice to turn around and run and go the other direction. And when I say run, you didn't just walk out still timid. You were, bam, you were full force ahead down that path B, got your book, got it together, got it written, got involved in communities with people. That was one of the things that you also talked about in your pillars, was getting around people, mentors, coaches, people around you who will support you in your journey. So I think that is just a fantastic example for anyone listening right now who might be at that position in life. And, you know, the last thing I wanted to say about this, and we'll get back into this because this is a great discussion so far, is that purposely positive is really, it's not about saying, oh yeah, everything's all right, but it's taking those moments in our life and projecting out the decisions that we make to something that that can happen and that can have a positive impact on us.
Absolutely.
Let's go back and look at a couple more of those pillars. So you've got the mindset. Now, what next?
Well, the next one, of course, is education, where you recognize that other people have done what you want to do. So there is information out there. If you're looking and you have that intention with the right mindset, here is my vision. Here is what I want. So I started off, I had no idea how to create a podcast or to publish a book or to get on camera or to create courses or to build a business. All I knew is that my former partner, while I was still with him, had gotten another woman pregnant and he was paying child support to her, and that no matter how much money he made, it was going to go to her. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking, it's like, I need to protect my kids. I'm still in this relationship. I don't know if I'll stay there, but I need to protect my kids. And the only way to do that is to make money myself. I had never done it before. I had always been the one that was the retail sales associate making $12 an hour. I had no idea how to charge. I think I was attracted to him because he could make money anywhere, but I was like, I need to do it. I need to build this. So I looked up how to write a book, how to publish a book, how to self-publish, how to create courses. And that automatically led me to my path to the community to learn coaching, to learn what I needed to do to market myself, to be able to write that book, to get in connection with you, Tony, because we were in the same program. But like, it's those little steps that you take. And I did the same with my birth journey too. I was like, I want to learn how to have a natural birth. Nobody in my family has ever done it. I'm going to go look at blog posts. And that's how you start to transform not only your mindset and thinking, but then you learn the steps. You take action in those steps. That's the important thing. Don't be an education junkie. Actually take action. Do something. Don't just let that book sit there and say, that was a nice book, but read it and do the action steps. And my book actually has action steps. And when you do that, you suddenly realize, oh, that was a step. I took a step. I'm higher up on the staircase. Oh, I'm higher up here. Oh, now I can look down and I can see better. Oh my goodness. So how high can I go? and you keep taking those steps and you keep getting that education and more comes to you. So that's another piece is right there is the right education.
Yeah, the right education. And I love the you brought up you have to take action too, because one of the things that I say is how many books out there are written on how to get rich, how to lose weight, and how to find your ideal partner? There's millions and millions of these books. So why don't we see a whole lot of healthy, rich, skinny people in love with their ideal partners? Because they know about information, but they don't know about implementation. They read the books. Actually, most people, when they buy a self-help book, they don't even read the whole thing. They buy it, maybe they read a couple of chapters, and then it gets put on the shelf. So they don't even finish it. And of the ones that do finish it, a lot of these books, they have action steps, and they don't take the action. Think and Grow Rich is a classic example, one of my favorite books. And there are exercises in that book. And whenever you ask somebody, have you read Think and Grow Rich? They said, oh, yeah. Well, what'd you think of it? No, it was okay. It had a lot of good information. Well, did you take the action steps? Did you do what it said? What did it say? And they don't even know. So get the information and take the next step. Go from information to implementation. And that is a huge difference in finding that resourcefulness. So I want to move on after that to your next pillar, from education into
the right environment. So what I noticed before my house had burned down, I had just started to cultivate that right environment again. My ex had just left for a month and I had started to create my house the way I wanted it. It was a lot cleaner. It was more streamlined. I had the pantry all organized. I could finally breathe because nobody was in that space messing everything up and making me feel stressed from that. It's sad when you think about it that then as soon as I got my house the way I wanted it, my house burns down. But the idea was I started to create that safe space. While he had still been in the house, I used to try to clean up. But it was from a place of anxiety. And I recognized that because I needed to have that safe container, I was trying to create it with just cleaning. Now, I still do this. I mean, my house isn't always clean. I'm a single mom and I'm busy doing things and the kids can come in. And the once clean house, it's like Tasmanian devils. So it's like the house is finally the way I want it. And then the kids come home and it's like 5 minutes later, it's a mess again. But being able to cultivate the right environment, even in your learning, even when you have people around you, being able to intentionally meditate is also important because you want your internal environment to also be like, if you can't control the external all the time, but if you can control that internal with the deep breathing, the meditation, recognizing is like, I am safe here. I am safe to be my full authentic self. If somebody doesn't like me, that's okay. Because I got that right mindset, and now I've created that environment inside to feel safe. So that if I say something and you're like, you can't say that, I'll be like, but I did.
Yep.
So it's okay. I said it. I'm okay with it. Yeah, I understand. Like, I'm not supposed to, but I did. And I'm good. And if you don't like it, that's fine. I'm resourced. The other thing with the right environment is if you think about a pot of dirt versus a pot of soil with all the rich nutrients, and you're planting a seed, which one is going to have a much more vibrant, beautiful flower? Is it going to be in the pot of dirt or is it going to be in the pot of rich soil with the nutrients? So you want to intentionally put yourself in environments where you are getting that rich soil. Go out for a walk in nature. Don't go walking down in the busy street with all the smoke and fumes of the vehicles, because that's just no good. That's that dirty, grungy street that you don't really want to walk down, versus a beautiful path with beautiful trees and maybe the ocean in the background. So I also intentionally, when it's like I've been in work mode all week, I go to the beach, although not right now because it's winter time, so I don't get to go to the beach right now. But I've got pictures of the beach on my phone, got pictures of the beach on my computer screen, and I can still bring that in. So even if you can't go out into nature, bring nature to you in some way, because that can help ground you and keep you calm and peaceful. You cannot work if you are in chaos in your mind and chaos around you.
Exactly. You know, you and I both live in climates where we do get this cold weather. And you know, I have a friend who is down in Florida, and he's able to actually go outside every morning and meditate on his patio. And, you know, kind of envy that. But, you know, we have to find those places where we can take time for ourselves and get in that right environment. So, yeah, I'm glad that that you brought that up. So we've gone through, what, three now? So there's two more.
Yeah.
Let's hit the other two. We're in a roll.
All right. Well, the right facilitators. I myself, being a right facilitator as a coach and educator, I can help women go where they want to go with their birth experience or when they're transforming in the aspect of their lives. I'm now helping women that are like, you know what? I've had this beautiful birth experience, and now I want to create what you've got, which is you've got a home business. Like, you're doing things. You're speaking to people. I want to do that. You want to have those people that have been where you are at and know that map. You don't want to just go and say, okay, I want to learn this thing, so I'm just going to go to any teacher who will teach me this. But does that teacher believe in you? Does that teacher actually care about what they're teaching? Does that teacher want to put all of their resources and all of their love and all of their just their magnificence into helping you get what you want? Or are they just the run-of-the-mill teacher like you sometimes get in school? And you can always tell. It's like, which teachers do you remember from your years in school that helped you feel more yourself, that nurtured your gifts, that said, hey, you could write a book someday? I had a teacher, Mrs. Nelson. She was my ninth grade English teacher, and she recognized my gift. And she told me, even in my essays, and actually recognized me at the end of the year for excellence in English, and said, one day you're going to write a book. And that was the first time I'd ever heard that, but it stuck with me. And I had another art teacher, Mr. Seawright, who was like, you are just an amazing art student, and I want to invite you back to my class for next year. But of course, I was moving away, so I couldn't. But the fact that he actually took the time to write that letter to me and say, I would like to invite you back into my class, when I thought, oh, I'm just like some run-of-the-mill student, I'm just average. But to have those teachers that actually recognize your gift versus the ones, I won't name names this time. When I was in second grade, I loved elephants. I loved to write stories. I loved to be creative in my own way. And we were told to write about spring. So I was going to write a story about an elephant in the springtime. And she said, no, no more elephants. Ripped the page out of my book, like actually ripped a page out of my journal and said, no. And then wrote spring in big capital letters and made me write that. So I'm like, in the spring, you get flowers. And it was like, it sucked the soul out of it. Did not like that. Did not like that. So there's having those facilitators, they're like, this is the way we teach it. This is the only way. What do you think? And by what do you think, I mean, what do you think I think about this, so that you can regurgitate my own genius back at me, and then you get an A, versus the teacher who's like, hey, I'm sharing my genius, my dharma with you, but take what resonates and then do your own thing. And, you know, these are all just frameworks, and I love you and I believe in you. I mean, you know, the mentors that we've got who do that for us, Tony.
Absolutely.
So it's like, you know, you want those people, and you want to embody that too. If you are a coach yourself, is to embody that. If you don't believe in your client, then it's not going to work. So having those right facilitators, like, I know the map. I know what you're trying to do. I can hold that vision for you. I can give you the right education. I'm not just going to bombard you with nothing but education information, but actually get you where you want to go. Those are the ones that are the right facilitators.
Those are the right facilitators, yes. And we've all had those teachers in our lives that really made a difference. Usually they're the ones that challenged us and the ones that held that vision for us, the ones who made us do the things maybe that we didn't want to do, but that we had to do. Those were the teachers, and those were the people in our lives that you remember and I remember. And, you know, reminded me of a story, and I'll just touch on this as briefly as I can, but it's very, very powerful. And it was about this one teacher who took all of her students and had them write out all of the other students in the class's name on a piece of paper. And then next to their name, he said to write one word about that person that's positive and one thing special about that person. So all of the kids had to do this. And then what he did was he took all of that information and he handed each child in that class a piece of paper with all of those words that the other children had written about them. The story doesn't end there. See, some 20 years later, one of the students was actually killed in war. And a bunch of the students and the teacher were at this man's funeral. The father came up to the teacher, and a lot of the other students came up to that teacher and said, "What you did that day changed my life, and it changed, I'll call him Johnny, for lack of a better word, Johnny's life. In fact, in his pocket right now, as he lies to rest, is that piece of paper." And three of the other students walked over to him, and they still had that paper in their hand with all those names, because whenever they had a difficult time in their life, they would pick up that paper and they'd read those words and they believed in themselves. So that was an exercise of a mentor, a facilitator, someone who not only loved their students, but taught their students how to love and shine to one another. So I just really felt like bringing that story out to you. So with that in mind, with that, I want to just take that last number five item.
Number five. Okay. So the thing about my pillars too, is that it's bookends. So the right mindset is at the front and then the right support is at the end, and it has to be intentionally set that way. So you can't mix up my pillars. Okay. They have to stay in that order. Otherwise it's just not going to be able to work properly, but you need to have that right support as the bookend. And one of our mentors and like a dear friend of mine, she teaches about true love and how it's a trampoline for your dreams and a sanctuary for your heart, which I did not have with my former partner. And I recognized that. That was how I was able to leave so fast, because I recognize now where I was headed in my vision. And I'm like, you know what? I need someone who's going to actually stand next to me during these speaking opportunities that I'm doing. I need someone who's going to be able to speak to the dads in the audience, somebody who can also help me get where I need to go and be that trampoline. And this one is not it. So when you recognize, like, you know what, I have these dreams and my partner is actually holding me back and they are not going to allow me to grow any more than I need to grow, you can lovingly let them go. So even though my ex was completely toxic, I was still like, hey, I appreciate the time that we had together. I appreciate you gave me these beautiful children, but you know, we just don't work anymore. We can't meet. You want to go off in this direction. I want to go off in this direction. You hate the ocean. That's a big thing for me. Okay. I want to have a house on the beach. I want to be able to go out to the ocean every day, but you hate the ocean. How is that going to work? That's not going to work for me in my dream life. You hate people. I want to be able to go out and speak. I want to be on stage. You got to be able to hang with people. Like, you can't hate people. Like, this isn't going to work for me anymore. So I was able to lovingly let him go. And I mean, he had a lot of things to say about that, of course. Like, when you realize that something's not going to be the way you expected, you're going to have some resistance to it. But I recognize, like, you need to have that right support. If you don't have a partner yet, make sure your friends and family that are around you are actually cheering you on. Even if they're not writing books, they need to be able to cheer you on. They can't be sitting there. It's like, oh, they think they're so high and mighty now. Well, guess what? Remember where you came from, and trying to drag you back down. It's like that metaphor with the crabs inside the bucket. And one crab is trying to climb out of the bucket and the other ones keep pulling them back down. It's like, dude, you could actually get out of this bucket. Like, do you have any idea what's going to happen to you if you stay in this bucket? They're going to go and put you in a tank and you're going to go home and get boiled. Like, seriously, you need to let the other crab crawl out of the bucket. Maybe that crab can go for help. I mean, yeah. In a cartoon, he would.
Right. Of course. Of course. So, it would be, I mean, it would be like Sebastian.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Sebastian when he realized that he was inside of that chef's place. And he's like, oh my God, I've got to get out of here kind of thing. Yeah. Well, what if all of those stuffed crabs and everything were actually alive? And they were like, no, we stay here. We stay here. This is where we're supposed to be. And he'd be like, are you crazy, man?
Exactly. I love it. I love it. But that is that. That is very true. I mean, we do get, you know, we could probably do a whole other podcast on picking the right person, because a lot of times when we first get into relationships with people, we go in for many superficial reasons and reasons of attraction. And we don't really sit down and plan out our life and really find out, are we really compatible or not? And I think that's an important thing. But again, I'll take that back to even our friendships. You know, there are, we have people that we have friends in our lives, and maybe there's some of those friends that we may not want to spend as much time with. And just like you said earlier, Carly, sometimes we can't cut the ties completely, especially when it comes to family. So we can still sit down at family dinners, but, you know, let's get around people who are like-minded, who are going places. That's where the whole mastermind principle that Napoleon Hill comes into play. It's about being around people that are going to support you on that journey. And I think that's so important, that whole support aspect. So you are really big into the whole birth and healing and that aspect. And we talked a lot about that, I think, the last time on the podcast. So tell us a little bit more about that. And then I'd also like to know, and I'm sure everyone listening would like to know, if they were interested in getting your book, what would be the best place to get that?
Okay, so the thing about me teaching birth is I don't just teach birth. I don't just teach women how to have a natural birth. And I don't just teach them how to advocate or get their partner to agree to a home birth. What I'm really teaching is how to create an intentional birth experience. Because birth, I've noticed, is a metaphor for how we do life. If you recognize it's like you go through the labors and then you have a transitional period where it's like everything is really hard, almost like the roadblocks that you encounter, as I talked about earlier. And then you have to basically either give up and go and get that C-section like I almost did, or you say, oh, hell no, I'm doing this. And you come out the other side, but it's ecstatic because you've allowed those hormones to build up in your body. You actually end up on an oxytocin high. It's like the most incredible thing. But then afterwards, it's like, I can do anything. I got through this hard thing and I can do anything. And sometimes it's not even the pain. It's just everybody else around you telling you why you shouldn't do it. And then you say, oh, hell no, but I'm doing this. And then you prove them wrong. So one of the things is I have my book. It's called Your Empowered Birth. And it talks about those five pillars. And this is just a one-step thing, Tony. I mean, I'm going to be writing another book. I don't know exactly when, but it's going to be again about my five pillars, but in different aspects of motherhood and life. So the thing I really want you to take away with, even if you're not going to give birth, if you're like a guy or if you've already had all your kids, but recognizing that what you're really doing is you're giving birth to yourself. So with these five pillars, it's actually about giving birth to yourself. And the Phoenix Effect is about giving birth to yourself. When you go through that transitional period, and I mean, birth is one of the ways that you can do that, you suddenly, you're breaking down the old version of yourself and you're going through that transition. You're maybe navigating a system that is telling you that it has to go one way. And you are saying, no, this is what's calling to my actual intuition. And they're saying, yeah, but that's wrong. And you say, no, but this is what is true for me. And you go with your truth instead of what other people are telling you. And then you have that transformative experience because you did it. You have a birth with no regrets. And that's the same thing when you're building a business. It's the same thing if you're trying to find a partnership or have friendships. It's like, I have no regrets here. Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it was scary. Maybe it didn't work out exactly the way I wanted. But I gave it my all. I went all in on this. I took action on this. I had the audacity to do it where other people would probably shy away from that dream. And I have the authentic truth that this is what is what's true for me. This is what calls to my heart and soul. And therefore, I have no regrets. I did it.
You did it. Exactly. I'm going to put the link to your book in the podcast notes. And if anyone else was interested in just reaching out to you, maybe having a discussion, talking to you about this and many other things, what would be the best way to do that?
Okay. So right now, if you want to just get my book, it's on Amazon. So you can go to empoweringmomsbirth.com/book and learn more about the 5-pillar system, what's inside the book. You can also go and get the free download chapter. That's just at empoweringmomsbirth.com/chapter. If you are intentionally looking for a birth book, that would be the best location for you to get that. The other thing is, if you just want to connect with me, because I'm doing so many things outside of birth, just send me an email. It's carlybondarood@gmail.com. I'm just going to give you my easy one. I'm not even going to give you my business one. This is my personal email. So don't go and blow up my email with spam or anything. I'll be really upset if you do that. But if you really want to connect with me, that is the best way to get a hold of me.
Carly, this has been great. Now, last time you were on the show, by the way, I hope people will get your book and reach out. And even if you're a guy, you know, get the book, because maybe you can share it with a woman in your life, or just read it for yourself, because it sounds like there's a lot of very empowering pieces of information in that book, just as we went over the 5 pillars today. But I want to ask you, because last time I asked you the signature question, what does being purposely positive mean to you? Well, you said that birth is a metaphor for how we do life. So what is the most positive aspect of a true birth?
I was to think about the most positive aspect of a true empowered birth. It's what I have quoted inside of my book. When you have an empowered birth, whether it's actual physical birth or when you're birthing a project, you become empowered for life. And no one can take your power away from you ever again. You have that authenticity, you have that truth and audacity to keep going for your dreams, and you continue to take action. So that is my message for that.
And that's really the end game of the Phoenix effect, that no one can take that away from you. What a beautiful way to end the program. Carly, it's been great to have you back, and I'm sure we'll have more discussions in the future.
Thank you, Tony.
And you've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And if you have one of those wake-up call moments and want to rise up from the ashes, you can also download a free ebook. It's called Strive to Thrive at TonyWCoaching.com, and it will start you in the direction of a purposely positive life.